Thank you, Mr. Jackson, and welcome this afternoon to Sabbath services, people of God. You know, we are all acutely aware of the song which goes around most of the world about Christmas time, called Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Shocker. Written in 1934 by Frederick Coots and Haven Gillespie, and sung first on Eddie Cantor's radio show. How many of you remember that one? Way back there. My daddy used to tell me about it. He remembered hearing that for the first time. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It sold 500,000 copies of sheet music and 30,000 records in one day's time. That's not bad for that date and time. In part of the lyrics, we are told he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sakes. Anybody sing that? As children, this song is probably the first introduction that we had with the idea that there was someone who could be everywhere at one time and know our every thought and see our every action. It seems to us old Saint Nick could know what we were up to, so we best be good, for a record was being kept. Well, if Saint Nicholas could pull this off, what of an all-powerful or an omnipotent God? Could he also be omnipresent? Or, as the basic definition that is found in Webster's New World Dictionary, 1996 edition, on page 431, it states it is an adjective, meaning present at all places at the same time. Men have, from the earliest time, tackled the subject of omnipresence and have come up, of course, with their own ideas. I will, for the sake of contrasting them, give just a few samples of the best, you know, we say, as we as humans have come up with on this subject. Now, synonyms of omnipresent: ubiquitous, universal, wall to wall. Words related to omnipresence: boundless, phantomless, horizonless, illimited, immeasurable, infinity, limitless, measureless, unbounded, unfathomable, unlimited, extensive, far-flung, and widespread. Some antonyms of omnipresence: bounded, circumscribed, confined, finite, limited, measured, narrow, and restricted. Now, from the Wikipedia source, omnipresence or ubiquity is the property of being present everywhere. The term omnipresence is most often used in a religious context as the attribute of a deity or supreme being, while the term ubiquity is generally used to describe something existing or being everywhere at the same time, consistently encountered, widespread, or common. The omnipresence of a supreme being is conceived differently by different religious systems, as most of us know. In monotheistic beliefs like Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, the divine and the universe are separate, but the divine is present everywhere. In pantheistic beliefs, the divine and the universe are identical. In panentheistic beliefs, the divine interpenetrates the universe, but extends beyond it in time and space. Omnipresence in religion: we have several ancient cultures, such as the Vedic and the Native American civilizations, which share similar views of omnipresence. The ancient Egyptians, Greeks, and Romans did not worship an omnipresent being, while most Paleolithic cultures followed polytheistic practice, you know, more than one God, polytheism, a form of omnipresence deity arises from a worldview that does not share ideas with monolocal deity cultures, those that are locally bound. Some omnipresent religions see the whole of existence as a manifestation of the deity. There are two predominant viewpoints. Pantheism, deity is the sum of existence, and panentheism, deity is an emergent property of existence. The first is closest to the Native American worldview. The latter resembles the Vedic or the Vedic outlook. In traditional Jewish monotheism, belief of panentheism or an omnipresent God is rejected. While the entire concept of God occupying physical space or having any category of spatial reference applied to him was completely rejected by pure Judaic monotheism. Hasidic teaching, along with certain Kabbalistic systems divergent to postulate belief in panentheism. In Islamic beliefs, pantheism is also rejected and omnipresence is described to transcend the physical. According to the Shia tradition of Naj al-Balaja, a compiling of Ali's teachings and letters with commentary by Murtaza Mahatma, the only territory that God does not enter is that of nothingness and non-existent. God is with everything but not in anything, and nothing is in him. God is not with things, though not out of them. He is over and above every kind of condition, state, similarity, and likeness. Ali says about God's omnipresence, this is his words, he is with everything but not in physical nearness. He is different from everything but not in physical separation. He is not inside things in the sense of physical penetration and is not outside them in the sense of exclusion. He is distinct from things because he overpowers them, and the things are distinct from him because of their subjection to him. Now in Christianity as well as in Kabbalistic and Hasidic philosophy, God is omnipresent. However, the major difference between them and other religious systems is that God is still transcendent, and his creation, and yet immanent and relating to creation. God is not immersed in the substance of creation, even though he is able to interact with it as he chooses. He cannot be excluded from any location or object in creation. God's presence is continuous throughout all the creation, though it may not be revealed in the same way at the same time to people everywhere. At times he may be actively present in a situation, while he may not reveal that he is present in another circumstance in some other area. God is omnipresent in a way that he is able to interact with the creation however he chooses, and is very essence of his creation. While contrary to normal physical intuition, such omnipresence is logically possible by way of the classic geometric point or its equivalent, in such that a point is, by definition, with all of space without taking up any space. The Bible states that God can be both present to a person in a manifest manner, as in Psalms 46 and verse 1. God is a refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. And also in Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that dwells in eternity. God as well as being present in every situation in all creation at any given time. As in Psalms 33, verse 13 and 14, The Lord looks from heaven and beholds all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. Specifically in the Bible, it shows that God can be present in every aspect of human life. God is naturally present in every aspect of the natural order, in every level of causality, every fleeting moment and momentous event of natural history. In Psalms 8, verse 3, we read, "When I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers." Isaiah 40, verse 12 shows us, "Who has measured the waters in the palm of his hand?" Nahum 1 and verse 3. Nahum 1 verse 3. "The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storms." God is bodily present in the incarnation of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's found in John 1 verse 14. Will we read, "The Word then was made flesh and dwelt amongst us." And again in Colossians 2, verse 9, "For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead." God is sacredly present and becomes known in special places where God chooses to meet us, places that become set apart by the faithful remembering community. In 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, let's go there. It's an important set of scriptures. I think we're coming up to a point where we're going to see this where we are now. 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, "For I have received," Paul is saying, "of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave thanks and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And people who met for the first time in a place for the Passover could understand, after they had been there and gone through the Passover, that truly the Lord is in this place. The place he had chosen to be for his people. And in Matthew 18 and verse 20, we read, "For where two or three of you are gathered together, there I am in the midst of you." Now, what I've said before came from a pretty dry reading of what man's ideas were concerning God's presence. And when you read the full extent of it, that's what you come up with. That's what man has put together concerning the power that God has. It's the best, that we can do as human beings. Now, as believing followers of Christ, we can tackle the subject of God being a God of omnipresence. We must first put aside our own reasonings and look and see what God's Word says. Starting in Genesis 28, verse 16, it shows Jacob on his trip from Beersheba to Haran, and he had a dream of God speaking to him. and confirming his promise through Abraham to give him the birthright lands and descendants. Upon awakening, Jacob knew God had been with him, and he was moved to make a pillar of stone and offer oil upon it. In other places in the Bible, we see God's presence in specific places and allusions to the fact that he could be in all places as he wished. The Bible does show that God can be both everywhere at once and transcendent or above all or outside of his creation. Psalms 33, verse 13, 14, God shows his existence outside of his creation. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth, as we just read. Psalms 139, verse 7 through 10, God shows he can be everywhere within his creation. The psalmist says, Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Pantheism teaches God is diffused through the entire universe, and his presence is everywhere. Remember how they said God was in every leaf, every tree, every believer, everything in the whole universe? Well, this is not the biblical view of omnipresence. The biblical view shows God present on his own throne, as in Revelation 4, verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one set upon the throne. And he is shown in the temple, as in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 2. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the large house. And also, God is shown in the lives of each believer in Christ, as in Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God's omnipresence shows itself in his greatness by choosing to take the form and shape of a servant, called Jesus, and to live amongst us. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8, we read, as we've read before, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. If we look at Scripture, God himself gives us strong hints as to his presence, as in Jeremiah 23, verse 23. He says, am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? And to the believer, there is a closeness by them at these times that they have God. Even if they try to flee from his presence, as we have read before, where shall I go from your spirit? And we do have the sure blessings that our Lord and Master is close at hand at all times. Now, we've read a lot of scholarly definitions of what men think on this subject of omnipresence. And we can often, having done this, be left with some confusion over what and how God can really pull all this off. That is where faith can play an integral role in helping us stay on track with what's really important about our salvation. God always has and forever shall be what he will be. I am that I am introduced himself to Moses, who was his friend and with whom he spoke face to face. Also, the full extent of the Hebrew meaning can also be interpreted I will be what I will be. After hearing what scholars, as I've said, had to say about the subject of omnipresence and seeing what the Word of God gives us about God's omnipresence, then what conclusions may we draw? You know, God's offer to mankind of life everlasting is truly without equal and in His majesty. If indeed omnipresence is one of God's abilities, which it seems to be, it's not only for God's glory to show His glory, but it's for our benefit also. God, indeed, is our ever-present aid, as stated in the Psalms. In 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, we read, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." So we see that God sees all that He wishes to see. God is able to be all these things, brethren. He can be powerful, present. He is wise. And God has no need, necessarily, that we put Him in a box and examine these things concerning Him. God will be what He will be. The great I Am loves us, brethren, and He wishes to share all that He has. You know, that's what love is, and that's what love does. That should be well enough for us to know. All over the world this next week, God's people, His ecclesia, will be meeting together in God's presence to celebrate the Passover. Our observation of what Christ asked us to do in a remembrance of Him until He returns. And the Father and the Son will be there with us because they have willed to be there. And not only that, they have the power to be there with all of us. Let us then thank, brethren, our ever-present, our omnipresent Father for always being there for every one of His children.